Welcome back to Shoujo, everyone. Let's see, we've got our veteran listeners who know what's going on here. And if you're by chance new and this is the episode you choose to start with, welcome. And I hope you can comprehend what happens here. Or maybe you're just here to support us. Yeah.
Well, there's only two episodes this time, so you're not getting the full experience of the 3-episode skip beat.
That's right. Recap. Yes. Nearing the end of Skip Beat. Next episode will be our last coverage of it. So we'll have to enjoy our remaining time with Kyoko and Ren and the gang. I'm your host, Sarah, joined by my friend Joe.
Hello.
Joe put in the Joe and show Joe. Showing Joe. Show Joe.
That's right.
And yes. So we'll get into that. But first, boy, oh boy, do we have stuff to catch up on.
Has anything happened? Has anything important happened in the last couple of days that we've been looking forward to for months, perhaps?
Years? Yes. Dragon Age, the Veil Guard. I feel like they could drop the "the" though. The Veil Guard. Which is dumb. So, whatever. I've been calling it Dragon Age Veilguard because that sounds better. But, yeah, it came out. What's today? It came out on the 31st. I did, let's see, I think Halloween. I had a, that, yeah, so that's what I did. I stayed at home alone playing Dragon Age streaming. I did, I think, a 31-hour stream, of which I did sleep for part of it. I slept in longer than anticipated, in fact. But I am liking the new game. Like, it's the best combat out of the series so far. Because I think it's unfortunate that it's coming out, like, not that long. And Baldur's Gate is still on the minds of a lot of people. So, like, Baldur's Gate is a much more, like, classic kind of RPG experience. Whereas this is a bit more, like, more consumable, probably, for people, more approachable.
So is this the game where that was the big departure? Like, is this where they started being more like action RPG as opposed to like turn-based kind of thing? Because I played Origin a little bit and that was more turn-based.
Yes. I mean, so for the most part, I don't remember if Dragon Age 2 had this, but for the most part, Origin and Inquisition, you could either play it where you like did time-based attacks where you like pause time, assigned actions, and then play time, and they would play out, which I never did because I wasn't ever playing at like a hard enough difficulty where that would have been worth it. But none of them, no Dragon Age game has ever been like the same as the previous entry. They've all been very distinct games. I think the first one came out in 2009. It's 2024 now. And the biggest gap was between Inquisition in like 2013, maybe, and then now Veil Guard. So, which is good because like when they did Dragon Age 2, they only had 2 years to do it from Origin, which, you know, resulted in some issues there. But I still enjoyed it. Inquisition, I would say, is probably like some things are improvements. Obviously, like a newer game will have like better visuals and this and that and a better character creator and stuff. But then it's like a very tedious game to play because it's like right after Skyrim came out. So BioWare, for some reason, trying to open world. They did this with Andromeda as well.
God, I hate that so much.
Yes, where it's like it's not fully open world in the way that some people like. So it's not fully that, but it's also taking away from what their player base wants, which is a more like narrative focused game. So like I only ever played through Inquisition twice, the very first time and then my replay right before this one, because it's such a pain in the ass to play because there's so much like side crap and like collectibles and shit. And so far, I have played about 26 hours of Veilguard, But yeah, so gameplay good, world exploration, a lot more focused, even when it's not like the main plot, it feels like it is related. So it feels like everything you're doing has value. And now, oh my God, Lucanus, the guy that I thought I was going to romance. We're not at that phase in our relationship yet, but he is hot, hot, hot. Yeah. So, oh man, I'm excited for that. And yeah, the companions.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So are you the Veil? Who is the Veil Guard? Is it you? Are you fighting them? Okay. Are you joining them?
I think we're the Veil Guard, although at the point in the game I'm at, that term has not been used at all because I'm still assembling the team. But
okay.
The Veil, basically there's something called the Fade, which most people can only enter through their dreams. But the Fade Dream is realm. Like, yeah, but the Fade used to be what the entire world was like, with like demons and stuff like that. But then this one, or this thing happened and that got closed off. And then the Veil is like the protective barrier around the Fade. So it's like an in-between world kind of. And then there's like the reality that everyone knows. So
you're maintaining the separation?
Yes, because then basically if we go back, or if the Fade takes over, demons everywhere, everyone's going to die pretty much. So like that's what we're
so is fighting. It just like demons are bad, like uniformly? Like there aren't really like any cool demons?
There's spirits. And then demons are like corrupted spirits. So because also there's like spirits of wisdom or spirit of chaos. And so like some of them are more likely to, you know, turn. So that's like what we're guarding against. And yeah, I'm playing as an elf rogue from the chat because you get to pick factions as like part of your origin as a character. Because each companion you have is from a different faction. And those factions are like groups that you'll have to like build relationships with and stuff like that. And so it's like cool. Your character gets a bit more, background story to reference and use those ties in conversation. Yeah, my character, super cute. You saw her last night on my stream.
Bow.
Yeah, huge okay, yes.
Bow and arrow it's, set. Enormous.
What are we in, Monster Almost Hunter? As tall as yeah. You. Yes, the bows are a little bulky. I don't like the way they look, but I've only found a few. And luckily, this game has where if you find something, you can then use the appearance of it, even if it's not what you have equipped. So. Like lots of like considerations for players to look that way they want, not limited by the stats of equipment. And like the equipment system is way better because now you don't have to like sell equipment. Like basically once you acquire equipment, if you acquire more of that same one, then it like levels it up. So, you don't have to worry about like constantly being or selling a bunch of stuff you're not going to use. Or your companions. And so like it just feels like there's a lot of quality of life things in this that I appreciate. So I'm assuming some people will like bash this game just because it's EA, even though, in my opinion, it is an improvement upon Inquisition. But I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean,
it does well.
I mean, it seems to have done pretty well, right?
I wasn't.
Streaming it and like,
yeah, that's
heard
true.
About it. It seems
yeah.
popular.
Well, because it was kind of like a make or break, right? As I've mentioned, that with Andromeda, no, Anthem. BioWare made this game Anthem. Oh, I don't even want to think that was reality where they made that, but like a total flop because EA wanted like a cooperative multiplayer, blah blah blah. So BioWare is the one they tasked with that. That turned out bad because that's not what BioWare does. So BioWare has been like on, you know, treading water for some time, especially because before Anthem, it was Mass Effect Andromeda, which a lot of people is like mixed because it had the same issues that Inquisition had, where it's like an open world, but like not one that I really want to spend that much time collecting random things for. So I think it's an improvement, and hopefully people have a little bit of faith restored in BioWare because they are doing another Mass Effect game. So hopefully that is a big improvement as well. It's tough because Mass Effect still holds up. Like, it's a great game. So it's kind of like setting yourself up for failure, trying to make more games in a series that people love so much and don't want the reputation. Well, this tarnished. Is
the, yeah, this is kind of the problem for, I mean, video games are in a weird state, like as an industry right now. And I feel like a lot of studios are doing like sequels after a long time. And I don't know, like, did you end up liking, did you finish the Life is Strange sequel?
No, I will get around to it eventually.
Okay, I've heard kind of mixed things about that game. And I know that studio actually got shut down or something by Sony recently.
God dang it.
Based on something. I mean, again, like, sometimes, stuff. I mean, you know, like, the studio that made Hi-Fi Rush, they made a critically acclaimed game and then got shut down anyway, right? So it's like, none of this stuff is really linked to how successful you are. It's kind of just a huge mess. So it's hard to know. I mean, that being said, you know, coming back and doing like quality life improvements, because that was really the issue when I played Dragon Age Origins or whatever I played.
Yeah.
Was like, there's so much inventory management and all this other stuff I just don't care about. And like, I also personally do not like open world games because I feel like it just fills it with a lot of stuff that you end up having to do, which is mostly just a waste of time. So it sounds like they knew what they were doing with this game, at least, or had like a vision of what's supposed to play as.
Yeah, it does so feel like the good. Pacing feels different. So it's like constantly like turned on. Like, there's not, I don't know. It just feels like everything is propelling the plot. So it's like there's no like, okay, now I take it easy, blah, 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 which I guess I'm just used to. Like, okay, now this is the part where.
Oh, so it's like back to back thing.
Kind of. I just like, yeah. I mean, so there's been no lulls so far. There's no like, oh, this part was boring, blah, 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 which is good. It's also giving me anxiety, though, because like, I'm like, am I just burning through this game? Like, how much time do I have in this game? But I will enjoy replaying it and playing as a different class with different like faction and stuff. You can go back and like, alter a lot of characters appearance and stuff, which is
how much like the decisions make differences, right? Because it sounds like high level you're kind of doing the Aragorn from Lord of the Rings thing where you're going around to all the different factions and trying to get them to all like work together so you can stop the big army or whatever. Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, kind of. So, well, because you have your companion and then basically you recruit every companion and then you like establish a connection with that companion's faction. And then there's like levels of trust or, you know, there's different elements that increase like your standing with that faction, such as like upgrading their merchant and, you know, doing quests within their region. And then like, I just had to make a decision that was like sucky either way. So it's like, I had to weigh out like what companion is going to be affected and what faction, because basically I had to make a call where it's like, okay, I can only save or I can only help save one thing. So whichever one I don't pick is going to be like in rough shape afterwards. And so I like have a significantly lower standing with the group I didn't pick now. And the character from that faction in my party is like not accessible now because she's busy like trying to help fix things in that area that got ruined. So and she's like, she has a state called like hardened now where she's like distrustful of you, and like so certain abilities, like abilities that are healing, she can't use on me now, but like abilities that would be reinforced by like intense negativity, such as like attacks, are like powered up.
Yeah, so
that's interesting.
So is it, but is it, does it mostly seem like, I mean, I guess you're not at the end of the game, but does it mostly seem like the faction stuff is more about how your companions interact with you? Like, is it more of personal stakes, or does it seem like if you mess up the factions, you're not going to win at the end? Like, you're not going to be able to beat the last thing. I'm assuming it's something
like
that.
Like, in the very first Dragon Age game, you, as a Grey Warden, you're, like, calling on old alliances to fight the Blight. And so, depending how it goes, like, you'll have different people fighting in, like, the final, like, battle, whatever level.
But
I'm assuming it's something like that, like...
It doesn't, like, alter the state, though. Because, like, this is the Mass Effect thing, right? Like, in Mass Effect, you have to do a similar thing, but it's all about your companions and, like, your companions being closer to you. Like, you still fight the last bot, like, the last battle no matter what. It doesn't really matter who you've aligned with, like, story-wise at the end, because it all ends the same way.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. I was just wondering,
like,
if there are stakes. Mm-hmm.
Like, environmentally, there's changes, like, the area that got hit hard is, like, I'm having to re-find travel points and stuff because the landscape has been affected from the destruction. And so, like, the world itself has been affected by the decisions. And I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do all the side quests that I can first before I do any plot stuff. So I think I'm just doing everything right now at this point.
Okay,
I'm not as far in the story.
Okay,
but what were you gonna say?
I was wondering, like, are you making decisions based off of, like, which companions you like and want to, like, get to know better, or are you doing it based off of, like, actually coalition building? Like, I don't have any artillery guys, they have all the artillery, I should be prioritizing those guys even though my companion wants me to do something. Like, is it that
personally
kind of, like, role-playing, or is it all just like, no,
yeah,
this guy's cool, so I'm going with them?
No, yeah. I picked based off, like, what companion I wanted to like me. Even though I basically is choosing between the guy that I'm interested in pursuing and saving his hometown. And then it just so happened that the faction I chose was the other hometown. So my hometown versus his. And I was like,
nice.
Sorry, pass. That's great. I got this hottie that I got to pursue.
Oh, wow.
So now my faction that
that's
I'm
good.
Originally from is like, how could you do this to us? Like, ooh, oops.
But, have you considered being down bad?
But in my defense, it was like, okay, it's like, okay, this is a merchant city and they don't have, like, a militant force to protect them versus the other one. They do have, like, almost, I'm from, like, a vigilante group. And there's, like, the reigning government is, like, powerful mages, so, like, in theory they have more defenses than this one that's more civilian.
Oh, so it's their fault, like, they just, how come you guys couldn't defend this is, like, your whole
that's
deal.
that's right we both have the same
fair.
Task at hand. I don't know,
I
but also
say,
they
like,
kicked
what,
me out. Yeah,
whatever,
like,
well, they the couldn't beginning. Defend themselves anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
You know, but,
so yeah, like, certain characters are now injured and, like,
okay, yeah, so it affects that kind of stuff. All right, I was just wondering about how that played out. All right, well, that's cool.
So
I'm glad
far,
you're enjoying it.
Liking it. Right now, I'd give it at least 8 out of 10. Maybe 9, but so I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you, Joe?
I've been also playing video games. I've been playing the Callisto Protocol as, like, one of my scarier games, which is, like, a space horror game, because I love space horror. I really liked, I liked Alien Isolation a lot. I liked Prey a lot. Space horror is good. This game is very, like, cinematic. Like, they did the thing where, you know, they, like, scanned an actor's face or whatever. So it's like, they have there's a lot of good cutscenes and things like that. Gameplay wise, it's a little confusing to play. Mm-hmm. A lot of the game is, I mean, you know, it's like a inventory management kind of horror game, right? So it's like you have some guns, you have like 6 inventory slots, you can carry ammo, you can carry health items, you can carry valuable stuff you can sell to upgrade your weapons and things like that, right? So you're always kind of doing these trade-offs. That being said, they really minimized the HUD, right? So, like, you can't see like your health very easily, or like it's on the back of your neck. It's like they're more like in story kind of things there, and not a lot of like icons and things that show up, which is nice cinematically, but also makes the game kind of hard to play because it's not that clear when things are attacking you. And the camera is like, it's third person, right? Like over the shoulder, but it's also kind of close to you. So I will just get hit by stuff outside of the camera view, and I can't exactly turn the camera really quick. So it kind of feels like a mess to play a little bit.
Early games like Silent Hill, it's like the limitations were kind of advantageous to the feel of the game.
Kind of. Like, I don't exactly feel like it's like that. Like, the thing going on with Silent Hill is that you can see everything, but your character response, like, your ability to control your character is, like, much more limited. Yeah. Because the types of, like, the control layout was a little weird, right? And that was kind of on purpose, because it's like, it's not supposed to be kind of responsive. It's supposed to be a little bit tense. This feels a little more like, I'm just getting hit by stuff outside of the screen, and I kind of feel like I just couldn't really do anything but take that hit. And so it ends up being a little more irritating than it does, like, nerve-wracking particularly, which is kind of annoying. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter that much because the game isn't too terribly difficult, but it does feel like a lot of, like, combat sequences, especially because this game has a lot of combat sequences, don't go very well because it's really hard for me to tell what's going on, not because, like, I didn't, like, react in time, you know what I mean? So, but, I mean, ultimately, like, it's it looks great, it's still pretty fun to play, like, most of the interactions are pretty good, there's just, like, a couple of things that are weird. The other big problem is that they don't give you a map, and I get lost all the time, and, like, the character moves kind of slow, so, you know, there's a lot of, like, small polish things. I think this is the same studio that made the Dead Space remake, and like, having played Dead Space fairly recently, the original, not the remake, that game just controls and feels a lot better than this one. So it's kind of like a trade-off of like cinematic, you know, because in Dead Space you have some HUD stuff, you have like objectives appearing at the top of your screen and that kind of thing, and this one you don't, and I feel like it kind of suffers because of it a little bit. At least playing it, you know, I'm playing it for people, right? So I'm streaming it to like some of my friends, and they like how it looks. Okay. So it looks great.
It's just the being behind the wheel that's a bit more.
Yeah. And, it, you know, if I play it for too long, I start to get annoyed by like how much stuff is like that. The quality of life stuff catches up to me if I play it for too long, and it starts to bother me. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, I've played like 6 hours. It's pretty good. I am enjoying it. It moves pretty quick. Even though the combat isn't super satisfying, I like the environments a lot. I like space horror. Space horror is just good, you know? I love a weird space station on a planet where it's snowing and you gotta wear a suit to walk outside. That's just great. I just love that.
Death Stranding or what?
I didn't play Death Stranding. I need to. That game I know is a lot of walking. So I played that. What else am I doing? I feel like you talked for a long time, so I should talk for a long time too. I've been watching, so I still have Netflix, what we got for
Kimi Ni Todoke,
right? And I'm watching, so now I'm like catching up because I didn't have it for like forever, right? So I am watching a Chinese cartoon anime called Scissor Seven. About some guy whose name is Seven, who is like a haircut, kind of a like deadbeat goofy kind of guy, who used to be a like killer assassin, but like lost his memories after some stuff happened to him. That's not entirely sure to me what it is. And it's very goofy. The first couple seasons are very goofy. I'm on like season 3 or 4 or something. And so it kind of escalates in terms of the stakes. But at the very beginning, it's just like about this kind of goofy guy whose like best friend is a chicken, and the chicken is telling him to become an assassin so they can make money because they're broke. So he's trying to be an assassin with his like scissors he has to cut people's hair. But he's not very good at it. And it's just like a lot of like comedy stuff with it. There's like a nice cast of characters that he meets over time. And then it really escalates with the whole, you were actually an assassin backstory thing, and now people are coming back, and there's demon blades and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. I'm having a good time with it. It's just like a show I can put on. The episodes are super short. They're like 10, 12 minutes, right? So it's like Adventure Time length episodes. So it's just like a nice thing. I can just like sneak one in whenever I got nothing to do. So I've been having a pretty good time with that. Pretty good action show, you know?
Okay. So have you watched Bridgerton yet?
Have I watched Bridgerton?
Yeah, that's a Netflix series.
Yeah. Aren't the episodes like an hour and forever long? Uh-huh. But no, I'm probably never going to watch it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn. Okay.
If I'm going to watch an hour long drama, I need to watch The Sopranos or something.
I haven't watched that either.
Is that like the Victorian era romance thing or whatever?
Yeah, a little slutty. Okay.
I don't think I'm going to watch that. I don't. That is like not boobs. My favorite don't time period. Like, I watched Downton Abbey for a while and I'm like, this is fine, I guess. But I do not like that time period. I don't like old time England. I think it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, it probably just reeked. And ugh, God.
Regency era.
Yeah.
Is it just like the what is it? Is there like a wider plot, or is it more like a Pride and Prejudice kind of thing?
Well, I haven't consumed any Pride and Prejudice stuff, but basically there's like this big family and each book is like focused on a different member of the family and their love story kind of. And so like there's a fun family dynamic and then like kind of subplots that arch between the seasons and hot people. And I don't know, it's like, it's not traditional, right? It's not like, oh, a bunch of white people running the show. It's like a more I guess like open-minded like setting than like reality. I mean,
like racially like, diverse, or like,
yeah,
because
I mean,
they're all still like aristocrat landowner.
Yeah.
I have servants that do things for me. Kind of thing, right?
Yes. Is it just like
Hamilton? I mean, is it just like, what if we did this but had a diverse cast that nobody really ever addressed and is not part of the story?
No, it kind of is addressed. The queen is black and she kind of, her ascending to that role caused a lot of this to happen. Because she like, she married into the family, and so when she became the queen, then that opened up more opportunities for people like her.
Okay, but is that like a plot point? Like, are we going to talk about race relations here? Or is it just like we're starting off where it's cool that black people are in power?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just wondering what it is. No. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Like, that's totally fine. I don't have any problem with that. I'm just like, is this thing that is like, is the show about that, or is that just part of the setting?
No, it's just part of the setting.
Okay. I mean, you know, that's fine. Yeah. I just like love stories amongst like old time English nobility and like landed gentry. I don't really care for. I think those guys are losers.
Gotcha. Let's see. Have you?
I mean, it's fine. I just feel like I've read too much of that, like too much like classical literature is about that stuff. You know, like I had to read Anna Karenina. I know that's like not in England or whatever, but like it's all the same. As, you know, it just feels all the same to me. I'm just like, whatever, man. Yeah, you love a guy, but he's at a different social standing than you. So it's hard for you. That sucks, I guess. Whatever.
there's like a Korean series live action zombie show that's on Netflix that you should check out that I really enjoyed. It's called All of Us Are Dead.
I feel like I heard about that when it came out.
I've mentioned it before on the podcast, I think a while ago, but I really enjoyed it. So maybe check that out while you're on Netflix.
Okay. I don't have like a ton of time to watch stuff.
Okay.
But I'll put that in the queue, you know?
Yeah, well,
because I've not been watching that much stuff. I'm supposed to be reading, but I'm not reading. I joined a new book club.
Why? Are you in 4 book clubs now?
No, one of them died, so I'm back down to two, and then one of them I read along with a podcast, and now I can do that at whatever pace I want, which I am behind by many, many books at this point. So surely only 2.
Exciting news.
Okay. Right.
See, if we ever cover Kadocha, my sister loves it enough that she just bought the whole manga set off eBay.
Oh, wow.
And she does not collect manga at all, but she like loves that series. I don't know. I feel like buying off eBay makes me nervous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you never know, like, the quality of the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's cool.
That's okay. Mostly what I've been doing, I guess. You know, Halloween stuff. It was Halloween this week.
Yeah.
Hung out with some people there.
OK. Okay. Look at you doing
pretty things. Good time.
Yeah, that did absolutely nothing for him. Not a single trick or treater, luckily, because Cricket would have lost her mind. Okay, Moxie and my cat is here. I'm freaking, my eyes are just
Yeah,
tired.
We did a 30-hour
like
stream or whatever,
face
right? So
is tired,
you're in recovery
yes.
mode.
I've got like one bloodshot eye, and as soon as we're done with this, I'll just play more Dragon Age, and I'm like, my eyeballs are gonna fall out of my head.
You don't want to recover a little more? You're gonna go right back into it?
Yes! Oh, sorry, Moxie.
Okay.
Scared my cat. Moxie, get off the mic. Stop bumping the mic.
Okay. Well, I guess we can get the show on the road, huh? Let's talk about Skip Beat somewhat.
Yeah.
So we got two episodes for Skip Beat today. You know, we talked longer in that first segment because of Dragon Age and also the fact that we're only covering two episodes today. So this segment is going to not be as long. And also, to be perfectly honest, these episodes, not a lot goes on. A lot of it is like plotty plot stuff that like isn't that important because the show's going to end in two more episodes. This is the most I'm like, oh, they definitely did not think this was going to be the only season. We are not setting up for the end of the season at all by the end of these two episodes. Like every other show we've watched has had like build up to the final, like the season finales. This is no build up at all.
Yeah. Well, now watching it, I'm like, I really wish they had done a second season.
I know, I'm surprised that nobody's
like where the plot takes off.
I mean, when did like original Fruits Basket come out? Like, I mean, I feel like there has been a sort of like we're remaking old stuff.
Yeah, Fruits Basket,
like we're doing Rama, we're doing Moo. Fruits Basket was 2001 and that came out in 2019, so that's an 18 year difference. This came out in 2008. So 19 years would be 2027. So in 3 years, we should get a new Skip Beat is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I'm like, this is my favorite manga and it is still coming out. So it's still on shelves. So I'm like, I don't know what the reception of Skip Beat is. Like, I mean, obviously it was good enough that they made an anime in the first place, but I don't know if there's like a fan base demand. I don't know. I don't know who calls the show.
You don't think you can carry a remake?
I feel like the remakes are what's good right now because like they kind of botched it the first go. So like, let's do it good this time. And then it's the old anime remade that is the best rather than like the new stuff coming out for me, at least.
Well, I don't think they botched the first one on any of these. Right? I mean, the original Fruits Basket was pretty good. It just didn't have the ending because it wasn't over. Right.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't follow the, I don't know. I haven't watched that.
Yeah, but it was like a Full Metal Alchemist thing, right? Where it wasn't done by the time it came out.
Oh, I don't know, but it wasn't as faithful, I think, to the manga.
Oh, and like, I mean, Ranma is like, the old show was like big deal. You know what I mean? Like that was very successful.
Yeah.
You know, they redid Sailor Moon and that was incredibly successful. So I don't really think it's like the original was bad.
Well, or like it can be so much better with technology.
I absolutely do not think those shows look better.
Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like the new Fruits Basket, like, it's more similar to the art style of the manga. They're more slim versus I feel like in the original one, they're a lot more wide. I do not think
it looks bad. I don't think animation has been served very well by increasing technology, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I mean, not if we're doing the damn 3D stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even the 2D stuff now does not look better.
I mean, maybe like the effects and stuff, but not the actual characters. Is that what she, or like it takes away?
No, I just think it's just not as, I think it allows you to cut more corners for like production wise. And that's why everybody cuts corners because these are all run by companies who don't give a shit about art or products or anything. They just want to sell stuff because of consolidation. Anyway, capitalism bad. Let's talk about voice actors. The voice actor for President Lori, we're getting down the list of characters in Skip Beat, is Koji Ishii. He is the voice of a character named Damaras in the Power Rangers one where they're pirates. It's like 50 episodes of this. It's like his most popular thing because that's a pretty good gig to be in Power Rangers. You could be in a lot of Power Rangers episodes.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good paycheck for a while. He's also the voice of Garter Belt and Panty and Stocking. That's a show.
I'm familiar. I'm like, I've never watched it.
Pretty funny.
From the name alone.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's a, you know, it's a comedy. It's like a raunchy comedy. It kind of holds up for the most part. A lot of some parts do not. I don't know if the character of Garter Belt, which is kind of a bit of a racist character a little bit with the the big lips. Yeah, once again, bad drawings. Very much like a blackface character. That being said, the performance, like the voice, is pretty good. He is also Asato Ichijo in Vampire Knight. So we're getting some
Shoujo.
Yeah, we're getting some Shoujo. Here's the Shoujo stuff. He is Montague, the voice of the Montague family. I don't exactly know who that is. In Romeo X Juliet, the anime, not the Baz Luhrmann movie.
Yes, it's good. It's a good one.
He also plays a character named Gekidorago in Pretty Cure for 50 episodes. So once again, big character. Pretty Cure is a big Shoujo franchise.
I didn't realize. I guess it is. I've been like, it pumps out to watch them, but
every year it's like a Pokemon for magical girls, right? Like okay. They pump. There's like 1,000 episodes.
Well, I never see any kind of art for them at conventions and stuff. So it must just be more for like kids or something where they'll consume it more than like adults following a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it's like for younger.
Yeah.
For younger kids. So, you know, it's like a lower thing there. Let's see. Also the voice of Mitsukage in Fushigi Yugi, another shoujo.
Yes, we'll definitely cover at some point. Amazing. Love you, Watase.
And for me, author. He is also the voice of Blex in the Zeta Gundam second movie, the new translation that they did in 2005. There we go. We got some Gundam in here.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Okay. So that's President Laurie's extremely deep voice.
It's so deep. It's
so deep. He does not really make an appearance in these episodes, though.
Nope.
All right, so Skip Beat, stage 22, is called The Day the World Shattered. We pick up right off where we left off of last week. Izuka has quizzed Kyoko on her character Mio's reasoning for hating her cousin. Kyoko doesn't quite know the answer, and Izuka says that she isn't up for the job. Okay, then we jump to the future, where Kyoko is filling Yashiro in on what happened last episode. And also we learn what happened after that moment, which was that Ren vouched for Kyoko, saying that she will figure out the character soon. She talks with Ren about the character of Mio, and Ren seems to think that she's on the cusp of a breakthrough, but Kyoko does not seem so confident about that.
Yeah, I like this scene where she's like, this must be some new form of bullying, like putting much pressure on me to come up with this.
Yeah, now supportive Ren is stressing her out as opposed to antagonistic Ren.
Uh-huh.
She tells Yashiro that she thinks he's just messing with her, but Yashiro tells her that that's not true. And that Ren is helping her out because he's in love with her, which he just says out loud. But Kyoko is deep in thought and isn't listening to Yashiro at all. So, okay. This isn't really how you wingman. I don't know.
It's
like,
not you're being your too, place to
you're
say.
Being too direct about this, dude. This is not how you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Kyoko compares her life to the character of Mio. Mio is gloomy and has had a tough life despite being a rich girl. Her parents always considered her lesser than her older sister, and her older jealous sister once pushed her off of a cliff, resulting in a scar on her face. However, despite the fact that her life is sad and she's gloomy, her cousin Mizuki has had an even worse time, but is often upbeat and happy despite everything that's happened to her. Kyoko realizes that Mio is envious of Mizuki's positivity, which might be fueling her hate for her. Kyoko's like 95% of the way there on like figuring out Mio as a character, but just can't put it all together. She looks into a nearby fountain and sees the makeup scar on her face. She has a revelation and has figured out the character. We cut to a frazzled Yashiro bursting into the shoot to tell Ren and director Ogata that Kyoko has run off. He explains that she had a realization and then just like booked it out of there. She's like, I'm going. Izuka hears this and thinks it's because she's an amateur. Ogata is worried about the shoot, but Ren reassures everyone, saying that she'll be back if she's really figured out something.
Yeah, I was like, Yashiro, I feel like you're like not setting Kyoko up to look good here. Like, dude, keep on the down low.
No, Yashiro has no
Cover
show these episodes.
Her.
He's really, really acting like a rube. He does not seem like he would be a particularly good manager here.
Like a what? A rube?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like a like he doesn't know what's happening. You know what I mean?
I don't understand.
Rube, an unsophisticated country person, a yokel.
A yokel.
He's acting unsophisticated, like he's never okay. been a manager before. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
Like it's his first day on the job. Ogata decides to believe in Kyoko and continues with the shoot without her. He suddenly has hope that Kyoko could be the thing that distinguishes his version from the original show that his father made. We cut to Kyoko. She feels bad for ditching the shoot, but says that once she figured out the character, she wanted to go act it out right then and there. She's thinking about this a while loitering in front of a hair salon. Four punk looking dudes come up behind her and are like, hey, you either need to go in or move out of the way. And then they like physically move her out of the way. Kyoko gets into character and confronts them as an angry rich girl. This was weird.
Yeah, this is my take. They said some horrific things.
Yeah, these are like punk, like, I don't know, like motorcycle looking punk dudes, you know what I mean? Who were like mean.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, come over here, I'll rip your skirt off and pull your panties down. I was like, oh my God.
Okay, Jesus, I don't remember that, Christ. But okay.
They said that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, weird.
It's awful. Yes.
I don't know why this happens. This never comes up again. I don't know why this scene is even here.
It's just to like prompt her to get into the role right away. To
get into character. Okay. Yeah. Bizarre.
Yep.
We then cut to some extras speculating on whether or not Kyoko will come back. Kyoko passes them in the hallway, but they aren't sure if it's really her or not because she has a different aura about her. And also she looks different. On set, they finish up a scene and Ren walks out to see Kyoko sitting in a chair and is surprised to see that she has dyed her actual hair black like Mio's. Like, she's not wearing the wig. She went and dyed her hair black at this salon. Ren and Ogata are like, Kyoko, did you, like, dye your real hair? And Izuka says that she can't hide the scar with Kyoko's short hair, so, like, I don't know why you did this. Kyoko doesn't say anything this whole time. Ren bends down and reaches out to her, but she swats him away and glares at him. Ren declares that this is Mio sitting before them because Kyoko has gotten into method acting. So here she is, method acting.
Here we go.
Ogata thinks about Kyoko's Mio, like her interpretation of it, and decides that she might be the thing the show needs after all. Izuka is less convinced. We get a flashback where Ren vouches again for Kyoko, saying that, you know, while she... while her version of Mio is different, it might be worthwhile to let her try. Izuka has had enough of this and starts calling Kyoko Mio to get her to like interact with her because Kyoko is ignoring everybody who's calling her Kyoko right now because she's method acting. Mio is annoyed, silently walks up half a flight of stairs and then turns around so she's like physically above Izuka and then starts talking to her. Yeah, so she can look down on her like physically, which is very funny. Kyoko and Izuka act out an improv scene together while Ogata thinks about the changes in the character that Kyoko has made. She has made Mio more prideful and confrontational. Ogata is so taken by Kyoko's performance that he physically collapses. He says he thought she was being too intense, but now he thinks it'll work out because her characterization is internally consistent as we cut to credits.
Yes. You keep saying method acting. They don't refer to it as that. It's just more so that like you're so in the role that you become the character, but like...
Yeah, it's like immersive. I mean, this is what method acting is, right? You like,
I guess so. But they kind of show it as like, or in the manga and stuff, her little chibi is kind of like a little soul that comes in and out of her. It's like, oh, Mia's soul is like left her as she's, and then like comes back, and so they almost make it seem like she's possessed by the role.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you think of this?
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't really have a lot of thoughts about this episode.
She dyed her hair black.
She did dye her hair black. I think this is, I mean, she doesn't have any other roles in anything, so I guess it doesn't matter, right? Because, like, she's still the chicken, but that's a chicken suit. That's her only other, like, consistent gig. So I guess this is fine. I don't think she can do this every time, you know?
No. Yeah. God is frail.
I don't know. I mean, this whole episode does not feel like a really... I didn't learn anything about the characters particularly. It's just like about what's happening in this arc.
The role. Yeah.
It's just about the role. So it's like, you know, it's fine. Like, yeah, she's doing method acting. That works for her.
I mean, it's like Ren said, this is her first time creating her own character. So I guess, as far as her like acting career. It's a moment, just not like as an individual.
Yeah. Right. Yep. I mean, she's being
dramatic
an actress.
Titles. These episodes have very dramatic titles.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, it's
what?
The World Shattered or something.
Oh yeah. It's what was it? The Day the World Shattered, which is
okay. Excessive.
Very dramatic for what's happening here, which is basically just like Kyoko has a different take on her character Mio. Mm-hmm. And goes for it at 110%, the same way she goes for everything, which is like, that's good. Yeah. I don't have any deeper thoughts about it, though.
Okay.
I mean, the other thing that's really happening here character-wise is that Ren keeps vouching for her.
Yeah. So, and even Ogata is like, okay, something's up with those two, with how much he's chiming in on her behalf, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing, which is, I mean, he really believes in her, which is good.
Yeah.
Even though it's the first time they've ever, like, worked together on a project.
Yeah, I mean, she did do that one little test in the kimono tea ceremony thing for one movie he was in, but she was not a peer of his at that point in time.
Yeah.
And now she is.
Yep, that's all I really have to say about that one. Should we go to the next one?
Cool. Yep.
Stage 22 is called And the Trigger Was Pulled, which feels like it should happen before the world shatters, but it does not happen here. We open on the end of last episode. A crew member does the cut thing with the little clapper board, and this snaps Kyoko out of character, and she goes back to being Kyoko. She apologizes to everybody for, like, running off, because it seems like the character of Mio took over her as the OP starts to play. We jump back in it, and Ogata tells her that her behavior was pretty unacceptable, what with, like, leaving without telling everybody and stuff, but it all worked out in the end, so it's cool, whatever. Izuka protests, saying that her interpretation of the character is totally different. Ogata agrees, but says that he's gonna run with it, so that his vision of the show will be different than his father's, and it can stand out and be better in comparison. He tells all the actors to play their roles with greater impact. Everybody is impressed that Ogata has his head in the game now. Ren tells Yashiro that he needs to step up his game, too. An intense Kyoko comes up to them, and he's like, "What's up, Kyoko?" And she asks Ren if he's gonna scold her for being so unprofessional. Ren's like, "Well, yeah, I guess I was annoyed that you just, like, up and left the set, and I would have been really pissed off if you just did that for, like, no reason, but clearly you were still working, so, like, it's all good. You know, it worked out." And he also says that he likes her interpretation of the character, and Kyoko is happy about that.
Yeah, she's always going to him as, like, okay, I slap my hand, I know I did something bad, you're the one to deliver the punishment.
Yeah. He needs to be her dad. Her mentor. I need you to punish me. I think we know what their dynamic is going to be like.
Well, she did have a dad, right? So
that's true. That never comes
Daddy
up, really,
issues.
Does it?
It doesn't.
Do we ever talk about her dad?
In the manga. Way, way into the manga.
It's going to be an angelic layer thing all over again where it just never comes up. We never think about the dad ever.
Doesn't exist.
Dang. Let's see. The shooting starts with Kyoko. Then we cut to Sho in full elf devil costume. He's going home and doesn't want to change because he wants to go home right now. And some guy from his company is like, "Hey, man, it's crazy that one of the actresses in your music video is going to be, like, on that TV show reboot now. That's weird, huh?" And Sho's like, "What?" And his manager, Kyoko, tries to distract him. But she doesn't do this. I'm sorry. What was her name?
Shoko.
Shoko,
Kyoko.
Yeah,
everyone's gotta have Moko, Shoko, Kyoko. Like,
yeah, Shoko tries to distract him. It does not work. Sho looks at the poster for Dark Moon and sees Kyoko's name on it. Oh no, this never comes up again in this episode. We immediately jump to a flashback of Korn/Ren giving Kyoko the gem, and she's like, "Ooh, a magic gem." Then we see that this flashback is actually a dream that Ren is having. He thinks back to earlier today where Kyoko explains her interpretation of Mio, where she says that her scar represents a curse that keeps her angry and prevents her from being happy. He wonders if she still actually believes in, like, fairies and magic gems and curses and stuff. He walks out of the shower to see a DVD of the old TV show on his table and thinks about what he's going to do next. We cut to an intense scene between Mio and her sister Mizuki. The cast members all talk about Kyoko's performance. One of them lets slip that they think that she might be better than the original Mio right in front of Izuka, who played her. Izuka says it's fine because she actually agrees. She likes Kyoko's interpretation better. Ren thinks that Kyoko has totally grasped the role of Mio.
Correction. Mizuki's her cousin.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. Misao is the name of her sister, which we don't really see.
Who doesn't? Yeah. So much of this episode is like about the story of this thing, but like there's only two more episodes left. So I'm like, I don't feel like I really need to recap this. Like it kind of doesn't matter.
That's true. Yeah.
Let's see. Kyoko and Ogata. The scene ends and Kyoko and Ogata walk over to Ren. Ogata thanks Ren for showing up on time because he had a commercial to record earlier today. Ren says he's all good because he ate on the way, so he's ready to go. And Kyoko accuses Ren of eating poorly and gets mad at Yashiro for letting him eat so poorly. The actress for Mizuki sees Ren and Kyoko talking. Her posse is jealous that Kyoko gets to spend time with Ren, but she's wondering if Ren, who has like a reputation of being like an intimidating co-star because he's like so good at acting, just hasn't really been acting for real yet because she's so far pretty underwhelmed.
I also like that she's got like those two chicks, her little groupies following her, kind of smack talking Kyoko, that she immediately is like, well, if you want to get to know Ren, just go talk to him. Don't like disparage someone that talking to him. Yeah.
Just like, you could just go talk to him. Like it's not a big deal.
Yes. Yeah.
Ren tells Kyoko that he stayed up all night watching the original show. She's like, wow, if that were me, that would probably like affect how I played the part. If I was like looking at that right before I had to do it. Ren says that he wanted to know how the old actor played the part so he could improve upon it like the director wants. Shooting starts for a scene that Ren's in, and Kyoko thinks that explanation is kind of odd in retrospect. Shouldn't he have already watched the show if that was like if he was planning on doing that? Like, why'd he do it just now? But like, whatever, it's fine. Ren's like a pro, so it's no big deal. But then she sees Ren get called on by the director for not being convincing enough of a lover in the scene that he's in, which apparently, I guess, is the first scene he needs to interact with Mizuki as like a love interest.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyoko thinks that he might have a problem after all. We get a montage of Ren's character's ridiculously sad character backstory. The long story short is that Mio's dad killed his character's dad and he's out for revenge. But he also is going to fall in love with Mio's cousin. So complex feelings.
I'm going to not correct since it doesn't matter.
What? Okay, what's wrong?
His dad survives. It's his dad is basically, I don't know if the car was like jeopardized or messed with, but he's the driver. So technically his dad is the one who killed her family, but like, wasn't really the one coordinating it. So he's like, now my dad is like racked with guilt and I know the person responsible for it.
Okay, so like Mio's dad gets his brother killed.
Yeah.
Who's Mizuki's like dad.
He orchestrates it. Yep.
And it gets pinned on Ren's character's dad.
Yep.
Because it's a car crash and he's the driver. But yep. Ren somehow knows, or Ren's character somehow knows that this was a setup and is now trying to get revenge on Mio's dad for what he did
to his
dad. Yeah, so
he's engaged to one of his daughters. So that's a good end to...
Wait, Ren's character is engaged to Mio's sister?
Yeah.
Okay. Even but he's going to fall in love with Mizuki...
Uh-huh.
His fiance. Because
he doesn't
cousin.
Mean to, because he's here on a mission, but then he just can't help but fall.
And he's also
their teacher. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This actually sounds like a pretty good drama, to be honest. Like, I know I'm saying
it's very dramatic.
It's impossible to follow, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. It seems like a soap opera, maybe, but
like this is some Twin Peaks shit. This is good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anyway, we learn all that. It doesn't really matter. Ren's having problems with the scene and has to do multiple retakes. Yashiro is worried because this is really unusual for Ren to have to do so many retakes. Like, normally he just gets it in one. Director Ogata tells Ren that he needs to show more ambivalence towards his love interest, Mizuki, because he likes her, but also her adoptive father is evil and he's getting revenge on his dad. And I guess... she's also involved because her dad also died in that. And also he's her teacher. So there should be a lot happening here. Ren should be acting more conflicted. Ogata tells him that if he can keep that conflict in his performance, then he can surpass the original show. Ren tries to do the take again, but freezes up. Ogata apologizes for putting too much pressure on him, but Ren tells him that that's not it. Kyoko, in a voiceover, tells us that Ren is unable to play the role as we cut to credits in like a weird, ominous voiceover.
Yeah.
That sounds like there's going to be a time skip.
No, there isn't a time skip. Well, okay.
It was a little weird.
What you're saying. She's speaking.
Yeah, because it's like, and at that moment, Ren couldn't play the role. And then it's like we cut to like 6 months later or something.
No. Definitely not that. But right, she's like admires him so much. And it's weird because she's being praised so much and she's just a beginner. And now the guy that she looks up to is struggling in his role.
Because he's not a method actor.
No, that's right.
He should have the spirit of whatever this guy's name take over him.
He doesn't. Well, if he just admits that he likes Kyoko, then that's very similar, like being a teacher to student versus like him being older than Kyoko. So like he has like a real world thing that he could be pulling inspiration from.
Yeah. Is that the answer?
Don't do it for the not for. Yeah. What? Oh, I got hit on this high schooler for my job.
I mean, that's how it's going to end, right? Like, it's the analog of his relationship with Kyoko has to be the analog with this character's relationship with Mizuki.
Well,
because it's not there's no other way to solve it for him. It's the only option, right? Clearly, he's not able to figure this out, which is weird because, like, I don't know, because the thing that so like the conversation he had with Lori about like not being able to like be a kind of lover is more like when you're in it, you know what I mean? Like it's the you're not being possessive enough, you're not being like desperate enough, or not desperate, but you're not being like controlling, but you're not trying to like take charge over it, right? I guess that's what he's supposed to be doing here, but it's such an early scene that this is like the you need to acknowledge that you're falling in love part. So like Ren just hasn't fallen in love at all with anybody, right?
Yeah, so that's what the why was he dating so these people about.
Dating him must have been miserable.
Yes. I mean, I could see it being like, if I date this huge actor, it'd be good for my career if I'm a fellow actor.
Oh, for sure.
Name on the
yeah.
Also, I feel like chicks just fall for him just because of his face and his gentlemanly persona. So it's not like they're really that into him either, like genuinely.
Yeah, chicks say they're into you, but they didn't know you when you were corn.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, looks like Ren's going to blow it. And that's how we end this episode.
I know. We only had two more episodes. I don't remember what we finish on.
I mean, we got to get to an end quick.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like we're going to have a big season finale moment.
Resolution.
To be honest.
I'm going to have to. Should I, like, tell. Kind of, I guess next episode when we wrap up, whatever is unconcluded from the show, I can give answers to without like going further into the story. Because everyone should read the manga; it's so good.
Yeah, we'll have a cutoff point where like we won't, you know, we'll just talk about the show, and then we'll have a point where we'll cut off. And you know, if you don't want to get spoiled on anything for the manga, we won't do anything there. And then basically, I can just ask you questions about how things turn out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
We can do it like that. But yeah, that you know, these two episodes, not a lot of like character stuff going on, other than it seems like Ren real into Kyoko. Kyoko not particularly any more into Ren than usual, other than she looks at him to punish her.
Yeah, she's not looking at romantically at all. Basically, he's like an entity of acting that she goes to for inspiration and to like criticize her and stuff. So he's more like it's a role he has more so than who he is, kind of.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. She's projecting.
What'll happen? What would have to happen to me? Right? Because we also have Sho is kind of the second male lead. Like
I so don't care about Sho. Like this so doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not invested in that at all. Who cares?
Well, that's episodes 22 and 23 of Skip Beat.
Yep.
We'll
next time, the last two.
Next time. Yep. And then we'll I guess done. Next episode, I'll announce what we're watching next as well.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. We made sure it's streamable. We know it's streamable, so we won't have to do a correction.
That's right. Let's see. Yeah, that was okay. Well, now we know moving forward that we need to check
the streaming landscape for shoujo is so bad.
It is.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's bad. I feel, I don't know. Shoujo's always been stronger as a manga media anime. Magical Girl is like slightly action-y, so I guess that's why it like does better animated. But like all these other ones, I feel like they just everyone reads them rather than watch them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess format wise, it's a little bit easier, too, right? Because like Magical Girl, you can do like Monster of the Week kind of thing. So you can just keep pumping out episodes.
Mm-hmm. Monster of the Week, like Power Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the format's called, where it's like this week, a big monster that makes people into puppets.
I guess that kind of happens. That happens in Cardcaptor Soccer as well.
Yeah. It's just an easy way. It's like an easy format to do maybe a lot of stuff.
For like our 1 year anniversary, we could do Cardcaptor Sakura, my favorite.
I mean, we'll cover it. It's just, it's a lot of episodes.
I know. It's so good. Well, that one only has like 52 episodes or something. And like two movies, which I guess we could do bonus.
We would have to do the movies. No, those would be episodes, normal episodes.
They're not plot.
It doesn't matter. We have to watch the whole thing. Canon. We have to engage with the whole thing. It doesn't matter if it's canon. Oh. They made it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm interested to see what they put on the screen. I don't care what's canon.
And then, right, because we've been doing this for about 8 months now. So, go us.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking doing
this. Yep, we're still going strong. We got a plan. We got some things in the tank. We kind of have a little bit of a roadmap in terms of what we want to cover, or at least like how we want to transition from show to show.
Yeah,
we're gonna try to space it out a little bit so I don't just make us watch all of the oldest shows of all time. And we don't just end up watching shows that are a gajillion episodes long. There are 70 episodes of Cardcaptor Sakura.
Oh damn. Okay,
70.
It's fine.
It's three seasons.
I mean, we can even do where, because like it is that Monster of the Week thing up to a certain point in the show. So maybe like for that phase of the show, we do more in one episode and then like more dedicated to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we might like, do the thing. We talked about doing the thing where we watch one season of something and then we take a break and watch something else. And then we come back for the second season. Like we did all of Kimi no Todoke in a row because those aren't very long, but we could for the longer ones break them.
Yeah.
Break them up a bit.
Yep. So we'll see. But if you guys have any shows you want us to cover, you can hit us up on socials or email us and all that. We'll get to how you can do that in a bit. But first, let's do our recommendations. I'm going to start since I already basically did all the talking for it. I'm going to recommend Dragon Age: The Veilguard because. So if you like kind of quick-paced combo combat and you like making your own character that you get to see interacting with the world and have romance and stuff like that, you should check out Dragon Age. I think this one can be standalone. Like, you don't have to really know the previous games. It certainly enriches the experience, but you could always probably watch like a YouTube video of like what you should know before playing Veilguard. So make me happy, play it. So I was like watching someone streaming it and they called it mid and then my like cheeks caught on fire and I was like, how could they, like, I love this game, how could they call it mid? I guess people have different opinions.
It's fine if people have other opinions about stuff. A lot of people don't like the stuff I like. A lot of my friends don't like the stuff I like, and like, this is, they could just be wrong. It's fine.
I mean, you can, I just BioWare has made improvements here and I don't want them to think that they haven't by anyone saying bad stuff, but
I think they know if their product or if their game is good or not.
Okay. All right. Boom. Easy peasy. My recommendation. Didn't give you enough time to come up with yours. How about you do Legend of Korra, since I saw you had your little fire ferret behind you?
No, I'm not going to let you tell me what my recommendation is going to be. I already knew what my recommendation was going to be.
Okay.
Just because I got Pablo in the background doesn't mean it needs to be Legend of Korra. I watched last or on Halloween, I watched the found footage horror movie Cloverfield for the first time from 2008. Oh,
I watched it recently, too.
I'd never seen it before, and it was pretty fun. You know, like I didn't have, you know, I knew a little bit about this movie, but I had never seen it. I'd seen the 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is a much more of like a thriller kind of film, which I do like, but it's like totally different, right? It's not like a monster movie. Yep. It's like a totally different thing. So I'd never actually seen the, you know, original movie. And it was pretty fun. I liked it quite a bit. Lots of good like set pieces. The whole time I was watching, I was kind of wondering like, how did they film this? Like, how did you get this kind of camera shot, this kind of thing? It's a fairly straightforward action movie. You know, it's about a big giant monster that attacks New York, and it's from the perspective of some people at a party. And it's like all through the camera work of like amateur, you know, just like recording stuff for this party. And then everything is filmed through that kind of camera lens. So it's like a pretty effective, I guess, setup for a movie.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty good. I think it holds up pretty well. The kind of stuff with the character work is like sort of interesting. There's this kind of fun thing they do where they're filming over a tape. So at different parts, some film from a previous, from a previous time when they film something will pop up during it. And that's like a pretty fun juxtaposition. I enjoyed that pretty well. So
yeah,
pretty good. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. It's not that long.
Yeah, because I feel like some people said like, oh, the camera like that makes me nauseous or something like that. Yes. Or you barely see the monster, blah, blah, blah.
If you get motion sick, this might mess you up a little bit because it is a lot of like jerky camera movements. That doesn't bother me, but I know it does bother some people.
Have you watched Hardcore Henry, that movie filmed on GoPros where it's like all first person?
I have not.
I kind of want to watch it. Apparently, because my boss, I guess, worked on that film because he used to like do animation stuff. But he said it was a nightmare to capture everything on a GoPro.
That does sound bad. That does sound like it's hard. Yeah. That does seem interesting, though.
Uh-huh. I know. It seems cool. It's like almost parkour-ish. But yeah, because Blair Witch Project's the other like big one that's like.
Yeah, that movie rules.
Footage. I haven't seen it, but
it's so good.
Yeah.
There isn't that much like running action in that. So it doesn't.
Yeah.
And also
it's
like,
not
you know,
jostling.
Yeah. The camera is like a whole rig, right? Like the guy is holding it like on his shoulder. So it's not like a handheld. Uh-huh. So it's not as shaky.
Is it who the actor who plays a guy filming for the most part? That's not who is that guy? I feel like he's familiar.
I don't think any of the.
Isn't the actress from Mean Girls in it too? She's like the friend that he's like crushing or something.
I don't know. I don't think they're like. Let me see. Let me look at the actors and see if they've done anything else since then. Because they were kind of. I know, like at the time, they were not big name.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Donahue. I do like when because. Right, I've made this complaint before. Like you always just see the aftermath of something like this, so it's fun to see like on the streets footage of like what it'd be like to experience firsthand whatever the disaster may be, and like what does the organization of local authorities look like and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it looks like of the actors is still pretty active. I haven't seen anything on this filmography, though. I mean, the one who plays the woman, she's retired from acting. According to Wikipedia, she became a medical marijuana grower, which is very funny. And then the other guy was in a couple of things. Yeah, he's also in a couple of things, just not like a huge amount. This guy is in a pretty decent number of things, but I don't recognize any of them.
I don't know if he's like in Neighbors. I don't know. He's very goofy. Anyways, yeah. This Cloverfield and then Cloverfield Lane. And then wasn't there something else recently?
There's the Cloverfield Paradox.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
I've not seen that either. Apparently there's another one in production somewhere. So
Okay.
A franchise that's still alive, I guess.
Yes. Well, those are our recommendations, so feel free to check them out. And if you enjoyed listening to us and you want to be cool, you want to be our favorite listeners ever, listen to what Joe's got to say now.
Yeah, rate us and subscribe if you're on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, so rate us in podcast apps, you know, whatever you're using to listen to this right now. There is almost certainly some way to rate us. That really helps us become discoverable in the show. There are not a ton of shoujo podcasts. It would be nice if people who wanted to find some could find some. Mm. And you can help that out by boosting us in the algorithm by recommending or, you know, hitting 5 stars on that for us. That would help us out a lot. Yep, follow us on Instagram.
All the things, essentially, yeah. Instagram is, and TikTok are where I've been posting reels.
So do that. Tell your friends about it. You know, if you have make some friends that like some shoujo, let them know. This is a good way to revisit stuff or to visit it for the first time if they never have before. You know, if you have ideas or comments about the show, or questions for us, you can email us at shoujopod.gmail.com or at gmail.com. you can send us those if you have questions or comments. That pretty much covers it.
Sweet. Cool. All right. This is where we wrap things up with our lesson of the day.
I kind of got nothing.
Method acting, blah, 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 something.
Dye your hair gives you superpowers. She just dyed
it 2 months ago. Don't dye your hair so much or it will damage it and dry it out.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that easy to do. You can't just do that. What else did we learn? I mean, it's just like, you know, don't fall in love with your students if you're a teacher and you're trying to get revenge on one of their adopted fathers.
Someone's love for someone yourself.
Don't be Yashiro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can hint at it. You can be like, oh, you know, they like really think highly of you. You know what I mean? Like you can get like 90% of the way there, but you can't just say it out loud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. When you wingman, you got to be like, oh, yeah, they really want to spend time with you. Like they're really looking out for you. You know, they really treat you different than other girls, something like that, right? But you can't just say it, man. You gotta be better.
Do wingmen work? I feel like it's mortifying. I was like went out drinking with my sister once and she was like trying to sell the dream of me to some dude and is horrific listening.
No, I mean it can't like what do you mean? It's easy, like yeah, like if you want to go talk to somebody, then you just go talk to them first and be like, oh, like, do you think my friend thinks you're cute over there? Like, you know what I mean? Like that totally works. What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. I guess my sister's a bad wing woman. Maybe.
I kind of felt like maybe you weren't putting all your effort into it either. Maybe.
Oh, no, I wasn't. So.
See, this is why it didn't work because you didn't want her to do it.
No, I did not.
Okay. But well,
like,
yes.
I don't know. It's just also I hate compliments, so it's just like embarrassing listening to her. Like,
oh my god, you have to be able. That's what the wingman does. They compliment you. They talk you up. It's the whole deal.
Well, don't do it in earshot of me.
Oh my god, you got to be able to take compliments.
I don't want to.
You're like Kyoko. You're like, are you here to insult? Are you here to tell me I did a bad job, Ren? Punish me, please.
I can take that. Yeah. If you compliment the things I have chosen for myself, my taste, I like that. Just don't compliment specifically.
What about like your personality? Like you picked your personality kind of and like your word choice and stuff.
Yeah, my personality rules, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It just don't.
What, you know, like, ooh, look at Sarah over there. She's got the clean face. She really put on moisturizer.
Yes, we're doing video for once, and I like woke up, watched the show, and then we started recording. So I was feeling gross, so I have like these face wipes. So that's just my face.
You don't like that compliment of me being like, yeah, she cleans her face all the time.
So fresh and so clean. No, mm-hmm. That's good because that's like an action I'm doing. Yeah. Okay. Well, learn to accept compliments.
Learn to accept compliments. Don't be Yashiro.
That's all.
Don't just walk off of set. Don't just walk away from your job during the workday unless you have a plan.
Surely they have stylists on hand that could.
You just gotta be like, "Hey, girl, I'm sick. I gotta go throw up." Don't just leave without telling anybody. She paid for
it. That was expensive.
Yeah. She also had to pay for her acting college class or whatever the hell. So, like, the money situation is abysmal here.
Uh huh. Okay, all right. Okay, guys. We're calling it. I need to go play Dragon Age and or take a nap. So I don't know which one's going to take priority.
One of those things will happen.
Stuff to do. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.